Wow, what a beautiful day in praise today. You know, church, if we really understood that, if we understood a couple of the songs that we really sang today, it would be uncontainable in here. But even at Hillview, we've become familiar with the church routine. We're here at 8 o'clock. We're going to get our hour and 15 minutes in. Four or five of us going to raise our hand. We're going to drift through the day. We're going to get a little Jesus. We're glad He saved us. We're holy people living in South Central Kentucky. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to challenge you today, and I want you to go with me to Exodus 33. And I think it's very exciting that when you just let the Word of God lead you, instead of trying to lead the Word of God, it gets you right where you are. If you have graduated from college, from high school, from kindergarten, if you've experienced some graduation in the last, your doctoral work, whatever, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, would you please stand? Look at this. Y'all give these great graduates a big hand. Ben, what, you ain't graduated from nothing. Sit down, Ben. Hold on, y'all. Stand up. I want to pray for you. Stand up. Now listen, guys. These are young people. And I want to give you the statistics. You want to see how important it is to get real and to get moving and to get motivated about God. The people you see standing up in their collegial world, the world that they will interact with right now, 5% of the people that they're journeying with follow Jesus Christ. That's more lost than Kenya. That's more lost right here in the United States of America. And right here in the United States of America, guess what we're working on each and every day? Being more lost each and every day. Now, don't be surprised. I'm going to ask you a question. By the way you worship Jesus today, would you have convinced anyone that He was for real? And so I'm going to pray for these graduates. And graduates, you know what? I'm going to pray that you all go make a huge difference. And you're going to be tempted and you're going to be challenged, but God's got a promise in your life. He's got a promise in your life. He established it for most of you when you were very young and you've gone through your adolescent years. Now some of you are ready to be married in the back and start that young adult life, and you're going to journey with God. Here's what I want you to know. God will not let go of His promise. And so I don't want you running back in here in 4 years ago and say, hey, I let go of God. Well, that may be true, but He didn't let go of you. And I want you to go into this world with an almighty God who loves you beyond our understanding. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for these graduates. We thank You for these graduates. We pray they go make a difference. Lord, I don't know, the cure of cancer may be standing up this morning. The leaders that really understand finances in a way to bring things back to balance may be standing up this morning. Lord, may we not doubt what You can do with a single human being. One person. And God, forgive us for believing in the majority more than we believe in You. And so God, would You guide us and teach us, bless these graduates, thank You for their work. And may they continue on with great success in the name of Jesus. And the church said what?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, graduates. Thank you all for graduating. That's a big accomplishment. Amen. Thank you for graduating. And we got a group of young people, 46 young people, our youth leaders, our youth workers. They're headed to Washington, D.C. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the work of Pastor Shane Blankenship and Chase and Sean and some other interns that we have, and Andrew, who's just, we got a big youth team going here. Now, why do we have a big youth team going here? Turn with me to Exodus 33 and I'll tell you. You cannot move forward in a spiritual way if God's presence doesn't go with you. And so here's the challenge this morning. Your presence is not as important as God's presence with you. Moses knew this. Now, sometimes we're disappointed because people don't recognize our what?
Presence.
Presence. Come on, let's be honest about it. In adolescence, I have noticed this. Female adolescents play games by not inviting the girls to their party that they want to know that they're really, you know, out of sorts with. I've seen this go on. Now, in males, when we're not invited to the party, we say things that God wouldn't want us to say, and we go on out with a different set of buddies. But it's about having the presence of God. Your presence is not as important as God's presence within you. And you see, when Jesus Christ came, He didn't come to just forgive you of your sin. This is where the church is hung up. Some of y'all are just, forgiveness is enough. I don't want the lifestyle. I don't want the empowering. I don't want the promise. I just want to get to heaven. No, that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came for the full package, not part of the package. And part of the package is your sins are forgiven. Another part of the package is you are filled with God's presence. That's the Holy Spirit, and destined with His purpose. You see, that's what God's going to wake His church up to one day. Oh, man, and when it does, the wind will blow. Like watch, if we got in the presence of God, here's what would happen. The building would be paid off. Boom. We'd get there in December and it'd be paid off. Now, see, some of you go like this. Oh, Pastor Ayers, you're dreaming. I'm a dreamer. Who do I follow?
Jesus.
You all would not be here if I hadn't have been crazy 19 years ago. I was insane. Every colleague I had told me it's the craziest move I could make. I want you to know that sometimes, graduates, God calls you to a crazy move. And He says, you follow me, and I'm going to take a bunch of renegade slaves, and I'm going to establish them as a nation. And here I am some 2,000 years plus. No, excuse me, 4,000. My calendar's off. A long time since this moment, and I'm still having to struggle with the promise that God made a group of people a long, long time ago. If that doesn't verify to you that there is a God and there is some significance along the way, now here's some things I want you to know. His presence, God's presence, is better than everybody else agreeing with you. God's presence is better than everybody else agreeing with you. However, it will not feel good. And see, if you're going to live your life by feeling good, you're always going to go up and down. How many of y'all found that to be true? Come on, some of my 60s people, y'all started it. Y'all got your guitars out, sang Kumbaya, and then sang that song, Feelings. Remember, that's the era. Hey, watch. You children are a victim of the 60s philosophy. We're blowing it up today. You know? Well, we can't say this because it'll make somebody feel bad. If you really go read the scripture, God is not concerned about making me feel bad. Now, I know a lot of people have a hard time with God, but see, God's not a therapist. He is like the God of all creation. And God is not an American. And God is not politically correct. God is God. That's what makes Him God. He doesn't have to do all this other stuff to save Himself. Because He already is.
We got to do what?
We want to save ourselves. That's our number one problem. We want to save ourselves. Well, Moses had come to the conclusion. Remember, we've got the whole children of Israel. Moses goes up to the mountain to meet with God. They all go build a golden calf. They go crazy. What were they, in essence, trying to do?
Make their own God.
They made their own God. How many of y'all got your own God? How many of y'all really believe God according to you more than God according to God? That God is what He is, and God's going to be what He's going to be, and God's going to do what? What He's going to do. Now here's where it drives us crazy. Even if we don't think it ought to be that way. How many of y'all get upset when God's not a Baptist? Or a Methodist? Or a Pentecostal? Or God won't do it like Freddie Hampton would do it? He does it like God wants to do it. And Moses knew he had to have the presence of God. So today I want you to know, we got to make sure the presence of God goes with us. Where's the presence of God? Now listen, it's June. June's coming up. July's coming up. About half of y'all going to all get married. And then some of you going to wish you hadn't. It's crazy. Summertime's crazy. All right? Now, so hold on. You better make sure you have the presence of God in your relationship. I don't know any other way to stay married than to stay centered in Jesus Christ. Now, you can do this. I've been to some 50-year anniversaries where really they were survivor. And what the people were saying, I have survived this human being for 50 years. Give me a golden mug or whatever you get at your 50th. Now, that's not really the way God designed marriage, was it? I mean, I really did. I went to one. I said, sir, I'm really proud of you being married for 50 years. And he said, well, you ought to be. It's been an endurance race. That's for sure. I mean, he was really that way. I said, well, you're not excited about being married? He said, never have been, but I stuck to my vows. I've been miserable for 50 years. Is that the way God designed us? No, God said, I want you to celebrate. He's a celebrative God. Now, let's look. Get in His presence. Look what Moses does. Chapter 33, verse 12. The story of the journey of the promise of the Exodus. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Now, who knows? Moses may have been looking for another person. Because now, if you notice, this is right after Aaron blew it. So Moses is not too sure about Aaron right now. How many of you in leadership have ever had second in command really mess things up? Yeah. And so God said, well, God, are you going to send me somebody else? Now, what God's trying to teach Moses is that the empowering of God in a person's life is enough. When we ever get convinced of that, that's when things will truck. It's the old hymn. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Even though they don't agree with me, what? I still will follow. Even though they say, I can't make it, God says, come on. Come on. Find the beauty of who I've made you to be, says the Lord. He says, now whom are you going to send me? You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Well, how many of you are glad to know that you're a part of the people of God? How many of y'all are part of the people of God? If you had, you know, if I looked at you and said, man, are you a part of God's people? What would you say? Absolutely, because you came there because Christ called you there. The only reason you have found favor with God is a name, Jesus. How many of y'all got that down? Because of Jesus, you get to be a part of the people of who? God. How many of y'all glad to know that? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad to be forgiven. Because what does forgiveness do? It puts God's presence in you. Now, why in the world did I have to be forgiven? What can God not look upon? Sin. Now, Moses knew this, and he was really worried about this. God, are you going to stay with us? We've built a golden calf. We've danced naked in front of you. That's what they really did. I'm not going to give you the G-rated version of the golden calf. I'm going to tell you what they were doing. Just so all you young people will understand that MTV and sexting and all of the things that you're doing is as old as Moses. And it'll get you away from the presence of God. It's nothing new. It's not new freedom. It's old confinement. It really is. Remember when all the kids started putting earrings in? Ancient, ancient Babylonian cultic religious experience. Millenniums old. We thought we were being what? Cool. We had found some new sort of sin. How many of y'all realize there are no new sins?
Absolutely.
And there are no new sins. Kind of just old stuff repackaged with new stuff. But it gets you to the same place. Now watch this. So does the presence of God. Now Moses asked a question. These are your people, and I'm going to lead them. Any of y'all that have taught Bible study, you've been a part of leadership in the church, or you've had to lead in any form or fashion, how many times have you had to be like Moses and remind God, these are your people? Boy, I've done that to y'all sometimes. I kid you not. I've been in my office, and I said, God, you know what? These are your people. I want out. Why do your sheep act like this? Sometimes God speaks because you lead them. And they're reflecting places in your life that you act like this. Oh, God, I need your what? Presence. And Moses says, well, how is everybody going to know that you have found favor with me? That's real important for Moses, isn't it? Moses teaches us this. Remember, he would not go to Egypt until he was sure that it was God that was sending him. He wanted to be marked by God before he got on the mission with God. Young people, you're going to Washington, D.C. If all you're carrying with you is Shane Blankenship, a youth group, and some cool Christian songs, you're done. You're not going to change D.C. with religion. Believe me, I've been there. It will take an almighty movement of the Spirit of God that is undeniably God is speaking. Because if you go read the history of our nation, God has spoken through people at various times in the history of the United States. It was not the God of Islam that spoke. It was the God who had attached the name Jesus to it. Go read Abraham Lincoln. He wasn't hanging out at the back of the mosque. He'd sneak at the corner of the Presbyterian church and yield his ear. They say in notes, to understand the presence as he leads. Smart man. How many of y'all want to lead without God? The God of Abraham. The God of Jacob. The God of Isaac. The God who sent who? Jesus. That's the line of promise. Now I want you to know, there's a lot of people in the world that believe that. You got to get out of the United States. We're a small country. 328, depending on what census you want to run. 328 million people here. There are billions of people in the world. America's not the place that God, the Christian God, moves with the hottest action. South Korea is. Third world countries are. If we'd been a third world country this morning, we'd sung that song right now, I'd have been an hour and a half calming everybody down. Because they're so aware of the presence of God in their life. And they know God's doing something. And God's providing and God's getting us somewhere. Listen, church, we got to be that church. That church. We got to become a little more like Moses. I want to show you something. Moses said this, then the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Graduates, here's what I want you to know. Brad Rice, you've already signed up. You're going to be pursuing a career with the United States Navy. You got a better looking uniform than Shane will have, you know. Navy boys dress nice. You know what? As you pursue that career as a naval officer one day, you better have the presence of God on you. And the men and women that follow you, they ought to be able to look at their commanding officer and say, I don't always agree, but I know who he talks to. I know who he talks to. And better yet, Bubba, I know who talks to him. The God of all creation. How many of y'all are amazed that the God of all creation would talk to us? He's talking to Moses. He tells Moses, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And I'll give you rest. I remember sometimes we have threatening times in our life. How many of y'all have threatening times in your life? I mean, we all got it. Come on, we all got it. The rest of y'all can get your hands up. You're either asleep or you don't understand what I'm talking about. How many of y'all have ever had to do something new? You've had to go where, okay, you had to go there and you've never been there. You know what I do when I get scared? When I was a little kid, I got scared. I went and got my mama. As a big adult, I take Elizabeth with me. I had to take Elizabeth with me. I went up there to do doctoral work, and man, I was scared to death. I went to this East Coast University. The people wore Woolridge bathing suits up there. I mean, it was so East Coast. I mean, I'm a Southern boy. I got up there in New Jersey. I was scared to death. I got out of the car. This is a true statement. I got out of the car, had a little old rental car. Elizabeth got a go-kart with a roof on it. And we drove down to New Jersey. This, kid you not, they had these little cars up there, and I said, I hope you didn't rent one of those. As soon as we did, we got all the luggage kind of in the back end of it with some sticking out the window, her and I in the front, and I had it floored, stomping the accelerator, and it'd go 75 miles an hour. That's really slow on a New Jersey turnpike. So we're out there. We arrive at Drew University, And I was scared to death because it was a new experience. And those people look smart. I mean, just walking down the sidewalk, I said, I'm in the wrong location. So I got out of the car and Elizabeth said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to go back to the airport and fly home. I don't have to do this. This isn't like high school where you got to stay for another 4 years. This is optional. And she said, well, why don't you just go check it out? I said, I've done checked it out. Let's go. I made a quick read. So enough of God's presence in her pushed me to go to the first seminar, which led me to the second seminar. And then eventually it finished. Somewhere you got to get located in the presence of God. It may be through another person. It may be through a conversation. But I can always guarantee you prayer will provoke the presence of God. And Moses in deep prayer here with God talking to him. Look. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Young people, just a quick note. If God's presence isn't in it, don't go. You know how many marriage hours I've spent? I mean, counseling over my lifetime. It's thousands of people who got married without the presence of God in it. It's a guaranteed divorce. Now, here's what you can't do. Come on, I just want to give you some helpful hints. You can't go do everything God tells you not to do and expect the blessings of God in your situation. Number one reason we'll play Family Feud. Y'all remember that old show? Cling. Number one reason we lived in messed up families today, premarital sex. This is the number one reason. Don't clap about that. That's sad. We ought to go, ah. Why aren't people all into premarital sex? I think two reasons. First of all, MTV's been extremely loud. BET's teaching everybody sex. School's telling everybody about sex. And the church has remained silent and embarrassed. Ooh, let's not talk about that. That'll make some old lady uncomfortable. Am I not telling the truth? Lord have mercy, in our church, I remember as a young person raising my hand and going, what happens if you have sex before marriage? They said, do not say that. You're supposed to say relations. I don't know nothing about relations, but I know something that is, you know, I'm telling you, I ain't tempted to have no relations. Let's get real about this. Why did God put it in motion? The presence ought to be there. You say, Pastor Steve, why do you talk about that? Because that's the number one thing that'll mess you up. You can graduate, you can have a 4.0 and a, what is it on your ACT? What's the highest you can get? You can have a 36, 4.0, a 4.0, 36, have a bad marriage, and you'll wreck everything you could have been. And if somebody like me knows that, don't you think the little evil guy really knows that? Get in God's presence. Moses said, I'm not going if you're not going with us, God. I read that and I said, you know what? That's absolutely right. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And then the Lord said to Moses, I will do everything you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. How many of y'all want to see God's glory? You know what? If you read this text, you're not going to get God's glory by going to a conference. I got a lot of people, they're conference chasers. I think they read that book, God Chasers, and they just think the next conference, the next stadium is where it's all going to happen. What's interesting, God's getting in the presence of God. God's getting in the presence of Moses, and it's just Moses there.
Amen.
The people aren't there. And Moses is pretty brave to separate himself from the people because the last time he did it, they threw a party. He's hanging with God. He's in God's presence. And what did God say? Well, Moses, I'm pleased with you because you've done what I've asked you to do. You know how you find favor with God? Same way you do with your parents. What? Nathan, I would say, since I'm under the anointing right now, that there's been at least a couple times you've done what your parents asked you to do. I'm not saying it's every time, but some of the time. True?
True?
When you did what they asked you to do, how was it at the house?
It worked well.
What happens, Clacy, when you don't do? You know, the parents you have when you don't do what your parents ask you to do. It doesn't work well. Isn't it the same with God? You know what? You know why God's pleased with Hillview Heights Church? Because enough of you will share the gospel. But you know, I can't stop there. I wish I could stop there. I wish I, you know, Pastor Reynolds, I wish I could say, you know what? It's enough. I wish I could be satisfied like the average bear pastor to see 20 people get baptized a year and just, you know, give you all some Bible verses, sing a couple hymns, get out right on time in an hour, go eat lunch with the Methodists and have a big time. Did you realize that in Warren County, there's 85,000 disconnected people in Warren County? You know what that means? If y'all don't make it to Washington, God blows the trumpet 3 hours from now, we're going to see over 80,000 people perish and die and go to hell from Warren County. Now, here's the way the devil's done with this. He's thrown out a theology going, well, that's not really going to happen. Would a loving, merciful God allow a hell? I just want y'all to know where I stand on this. Yeah. Because if you happen to end up there, I want you to know at least you were pre-warned. I really do. Because the reason there's a hell is what happens in our lives. When we resist what God wants us to do, what do you find 100% of the time? What is it? Hell. You don't do what God asks you to do. You don't follow His principles. You don't follow what He's engaging with you that engages His presence. Where do you end up? What's that feeling? Watch this. This is not a cuss word. I know some of you are, Tim, I'm watching. This is not a cuss word, okay? I'm going to make this descriptive. Hellish. There's these hellish moments in our lives. And God doesn't desire that. I'm glad that God doesn't desire that. God wants you to live full in His presence. He wants you to go forward. Now, even in this journey, what's God doing? Staying with His promise. Note that. Moses not staying with His promise. God's staying with His promise. And God will get you there. And we're about done. Look at here. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Quick note, God gives mercy. You don't make it happen. Some of y'all are so wore out trying to find a magic trick that'll make God move. Guess when God will move? When He chooses to, when He wants to. You're exactly right. Yeah. People ask me all the time, you actively sang this song? I remember I was doing a youth camp, and I set a whole praise team down. They didn't speak to me for 2 days. They bugged me for 30 minutes before the service about what song they needed to sing at the invitation so people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, at about the 25-minute mark, I got mad. And I told him, you're not singing a song at all. I'm going to teach you all a lesson. God doesn't need your voice. He doesn't need your guitars. And He doesn't need your song to bring His people. He just needs His message. And He draws them to salvation. We don't. Watch this. I can't see any of you in the room. There's a lot of you who've heard the gospel over and over and over and over. And you've said, tomorrow I'll get there. But there'll be a day, here's why I keep preaching. Some of you wake up and go, wait a minute, that's for me. God wants to come into my life. He wants to save me. He wants to put me into His presence. Absolutely. Now look what Moses does. He gets prepared to go. How does he go? He goes where God tells him to go. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. You know what God's telling Moses? You can't handle all of it. You can't handle all of it. But I'm going to give you enough of it. Now, I got to preach just a minute here. When we realize we got enough of God to get the job done, we'll start moving. Amen. What's this stuff about more? I'm tired of hearing about more. We don't use what we have. Huh? I've been running around hauling off. My shirts aren't fitting right anymore, and my suit coats have changed over the winter. Elizabeth, the other day, I said, I can't believe this happened. She said, well, what you need to believe is the more of those Snickers you eat late at night watching the news, that's what's causing this to happen. Now, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to find some other reason than the what? The truth. How many of y'all are like that? I want to find something else that I don't enjoy to get rid of if it's something that I enjoy causing me the problem. God said, I've given you enough, Moses, to get the job done. Graduates, you got enough to get the job done. Bubba, you got enough to what? Get the job done. I want you to get the job done. You know that. Since you were a seventh grader, what have I been preaching in that head of yours? Be everything you've been made to be. And don't let the world tell you what you can't be. I'm tired of hearing the world telling everybody what they can't be. Personally, I'm tired of hearing all the whining. I'm tired of hearing everybody tell me how they can't. Well, where's the people that can? By the way, y'all better be some that can, because all those that are can't are charging. And eventually those that can won't be able to afford all those that decide they can't. Because I'm serious. Read this. Moses has got this problem. Moses, man, he's political. He's got to deal with a whole group of people. I wish we had Moses' deal, though. God, they're hungry. Great, God said, I'll what? Amen. Lord, they're acting up. What did God say? I'll take the ones out that need to be taken out. Oh, by the way, Joe, I wasn't here to preach it, but I mean, God sent people through the camp and took some of them out. The loving, merciful God said, I've had enough of you. This is where people like Bill Maher, they have a bad, hard hang up with God. Well, the God of the Old Testament is ruthless. You want to see ruthless? Look at human beings unchecked. There's a ruthless group. Human beings without God are the meanest creature on the face of the earth. Ruthless. God says, I take you out for a cause. Human beings just take you out. God said, I'm going to give you my presence, Moses. I got to hide you in the cleft of the rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. But my face must not be seen. Now watch this. You know why Moses needed to see God's back? So he could know where God was going. And if you notice, if I'm looking at somebody's back, what am I doing? Come on. Oh, y'all got that today. What am I doing? How many of y'all always want to see God's face? See, y'all think you're executive Christians. You want to sit down at God's conference table and sit there and discuss the matters with God. But guess what he really is looking for? Followers. Will you do what I ask you to do? Well, Lord, I really want to. But Lord, I can't do it unless I get your presence. So guys, we're going to pray over this D.C. mission trip. I want y'all to just go be the presence of God. Listen, if y'all go be joyful, happy, and have some insight of the world, people will be amazed by your existence. Hillview, I'm proud of you. There is the presence of God in here. My Jewish friends that were here Wednesday night, we went out to eat after the deal on Wednesday night, and Barry from Brooklyn, New York, he kept asking me, hey, Pastor, what was in there? What was in there? I said, what are you talking about, Barry? He said, no, in the service, something was in there. I said, Barry, you know, I mean, for me, you know, Barry, it's the Spirit of the Messiah. He goes, oh. See, watch this. If we'll get in the presence of God, we don't have to talk so much. Did you understand this? Moses said, I can't go unless you go with me. Moses said, Lord, you've got to find favor with us. Lord, don't leave me. Don't step aside. And God said, I'm going to give you enough. I can't give you everything, but I'm going to give you enough. And whatever God has given you is enough to live a full and abundant life. I don't know why we can't get satisfied with that. Brother, sin. What do we want to do? How many of y'all have ever done this in your journey so far? You've looked at what God has given somebody else and wanted that. Covet. You know, you look over at Keith Scarborough and I say, man, I wish I had hair like that. I mean, I really don't. But you look at what God's given somebody else. You look at somebody else's ministry. Pastor Reynolds, how many of these young bucks look at somebody else's ministry and they say, God, I want to have a ministry like that. No, they don't, because they'll never pay the price to have a ministry like that. See, we always want what somebody else has got. Now I'm going to call you today. How many of y'all want what God's got for you? Even if it means this, get married, hold a job, raise your kids well, never be in the newspaper, never get on WBKO, just live a quiet, peaceful, honorable Jesus life. And guess what you're going to hear one day? You're going to walk up steps of judgment, and God's going to look at you, and He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with what I gave you." It's going to happen. Y'all believe there's going to be a judgment day, or you think He's joking? Huh? Now, I'm not going to draw circles and do the John Hagee thing. I'm not smart enough to draw all those circles. People ask me about, "You think it's the end of time?" I said, "We're one day closer than we were yesterday. That's what I know." Now, y'all don't have a smart pastor. I don't know when He's coming, okay? And I never will. It's not my job to tell you when He's coming. It's only my job to tell you there's a plane on the way. I don't know. It's just like flying United Airlines. You never know when you're leaving or you never know where you're going. If you want to understand God's timing, fly United. They have suggestions. I tell them at the counter. It says on this piece of paper we're taking off at 11, but I always schedule with you all 12 hours difference so I can be safe either way. And they go, "Well, to tell you the truth, we do. We have a magnetic cognito that fell off the left wheel of our plane and we're having to fix that back." I go, "You know, y'all get that fixed before we get on. That sounds like a good idea." But you know, it doesn't matter when He comes back. It matters that you know He will. And that we live what? Accordingly, God's presence in you. That's the church. Let's stand together. Listen, I don't want anybody to go to hell today. God doesn't desire you to go to hell today. Pastors, I want you to pray. Deacons, I need y'all to come on up here because I want y'all to pray over the D.C. people. Young people, if y'all come right over in the corner pocket, this is your pocket today of this altar. But most importantly, some of you need to be baptized today. Some of you need to come to Christ today. Here's the way you get the presence of God in your life. You ready? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all realize that? I'm a sinner. It ain't going to happen until you come realize that. I'm a sinner. You say, "Well, how do you know?" Real quick. How many of y'all are aware of the Ten Commandments? Those do nots. How many of you all read the do nots and it scored 100? Now you understand the problem. God said do not and we did. That's the nature of sin. So guess what God's going to do? He's going to forgive you. And so if you want to talk about a relationship with Christ, you want to talk about being baptized, you want to talk about sharing God, you want to talk about being in the presence through salvation, I want you to come today. How many of y'all need to come and pray because you know you're not following Him as fully as He's asking you to? Watch this, 8 o'clock. I've seen 2 or 3 visitors here. You know what that means? That means either we have really shy guests now or we've become so churched up we forgot to ask people to come with us. Here's one of the scariest things about coming off the street, coming to Christ, coming into church. You'll get so churched up, you'll forget about your friends you left on the street. And you'll forget that they're going to hell because we're so busy, Freddie, doing church stuff. I mean, we got holy stuff to do. Chuck, we got a lot of activities. And we'll forget that there's real people just like you and I that breathe real air just like you and I, who have real lives that just like you and I, who need to be invited to Jesus. So I'm not going, y'all going, "It's summertime. We're supposed to lay back." That's at regular church. This is summertime. You know what I've used summertime as? How many of y'all are out and about more in the summer than you are in the winter? Yeah, me too. So you get to make contact with more people. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. It's that important. I mean, we're still on the same mission. Here's the objective. I'd like to reduce the number of people going to hell in Warren County, okay? And the reason God gave me this assignment, I can figure that out. See, we got 85,000, you know. Well, somebody gets saved today. Somebody's going to get saved today. That's one less than we had this morning. And we keep at that until we take our last breath. Amen? Amen? So, Brad James, we're going to run race cars around the track so they might. "What y'all got that car out here for?" Because we love Jesus and we don't want you to go to hell. We love Jesus and we want you to know that He died on the cross. He's risen from the grave and He'd love to come into your life. Now, if you've never had that experience, I would like to fully invite you to that experience. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Is that going to be a popular experience? No. At this moment of time in human history in the United States of America, it is not popular to be a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, the only religious group that you can pick on now is Christians. I kind of like that. Because if you know with God, we always do better as a minority than we do as a majority. Okay? So let's let it happen. Lord, we ask now that as this moves, we pray for this D.C. mission trip. We pray for salvation. We pray that this altar stack up. God, we want to be in your presence. We want to know your love. We want to understand your power. Let things happen today. D.C. mission trip, let me pray over you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray an empowering of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that there'll be a presence on these kids that will be undeniably Jesus. We pray for their leaders. We pray for the adults that are going in leadership. And Lord, we pray that there be an outbreak of the understanding of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C. And Lord, maybe CNN or MSNBC or whoever's got a hold of it, they're going to have to say, there's been a bunch of kids from Kentucky who have come with the presence of God, and something's happening in our city. Lord, may we not doubt that that's possible. And so in the name of Jesus, may we worship. Amen. Come on, if you need to talk about baptism, you need to talk about salvation, you need to come and just pray. You say, God, I need to release your presence in my life. Just a few moments here at the altar. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You've been wonderful today. You've been wonderful today. Come on.